Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Spillers After Show podcast, voted Best of Phoenix 2016 by the Phoenix New Times. I'm Robert Hookman Jr., and this episode is Udian Garcia reading his short story, Hard Rhyme, live at Spillers No. 7 on March 14th, 2017. Enjoy.
This is my first publication with Spillers, so thanks to Brian and Robert. They're really great guys, and they're really polite, and what they're doing is really awesome. My story is called Hard Rhyme. Today we stayed home from school. Stephanie and I did. Ma woke me up early to take the trash in, and I mean it was early. The sun had barely overtaken the dark when I walked across the front yard. Rocks stabbed my feet. The garbage can sat empty on the street, waiting for me. My block was asleep, and Javen from across the street was awake, his bedroom light on. His mom's station wagon was gone, and so was his dad's old truck. They decided to get a head start of La Migra by leaving their car somewhere else. Sophia next door left her bike outside. On weekdays, the three of us take turns riding it on our way to school, and Javen always calls first because he doesn't want anyone seeing him ride a pink bike, and I'm always last. And Pa's truck was still in the driveway. He walked up to me as I pulled in the trash can. Mijo, I'll see you when I get home after I drop off the truck, and your tío's gonna drop me off. Pa's truck backed up and drove away. A charcoal cloud floated in the air, and a gear change from his truck pumped itself forward and away. Ma, I hate this, Stephanie said. Why don't we just sleep? And she was in the chair wrapped in her blanket and her hair looked like she'd pulled it out of a fan. Eat your cereal, please, Ma said. Both of you make sure to make your beds. No TV, nada. Ustedes ya lo saben. Did you guys ask your teachers for this week's homework? Yes, we both said. But Ma, we haven't seen them around since Friday, and it's Monday. And I think we can go to school, Stephanie said. The corner store still has their trash can turned upside down, and until it's back up, we aren't going anywhere. Stephanie dozed off in her chair. Hija, wake up, Ma said. Go do your chores and come back to the living room. Our house has two bedrooms, a living room and a kitchen between the both. The bathroom is next to our room. It feels like a closet with two beds on each end of the room and one dresser for all our clothes. By the time our room was clean, we could see the sun trying to peek through the drapes, faded and older than we were. Beams of yellow exposed all the dust. The TV in the living room stayed off. We had one of those big ones that hummed loud, a high-pitched hum that floated around you until you actually paid attention, and the next thing you know, it was all you could hear. Last year, that's how they entered Alex's house down the street. His parents had the TV on. Then the door was flying down. Josie, who lived across the street, was peeking out the window and said she saw the whole thing. The patrol cars pulling up, covering every exit point. And these are our snow days. When the blizzard in fourth grade hit, we only had an encyclopedia and an automobile sale magazine in English. I always saw them in the gas stations right next to the tattoo and naked magazines. The nearest bookstore was half an hour away, and the snow suggested we remain home. Stephanie read the car magazine, and at the clear of the storm, she could tell anyone the model and year of any car. But this year, we prepared. We bought comic books and a Scholastic collection from the book fair, and me and Stephanie saved up an entire stash to read. And I'm able to sit still while looking at a picture book for 5 or 6 minutes at a time. Anything else, I mean, forget about it. I turn impatient. And it's the worst at school because my teacher gets mad at me and I tell her I can't help it. My legs tell me what to do. They're good on weekends and summer breaks when I go to work with Appa because my job is to bring him plaster from outside to whichever room he's taping. And that's my job with him. I bring the drywall crew the plaster, I carry the tools in, and tell them if a food truck is coming down the street. Pa used to take me and Stephanie to work with him during school breaks or while Ma worked on Saturdays. Stephanie would just sit there a lot of the time, playing with the sand used for cement, or would just sometimes go around the house, poking at the wet plaster on the fresh taped walls. When she wasn't doing that, she would be right behind the fire or wandering around all alone. And that's when I remember first hiding, because the manager would come around every so often and regulations said it was too dangerous for kids to be there. You know, nails on the ground, tools everywhere, construction. It wasn't a playground. And we'd hide in the dumpster or under the truck seats. Then Appa stopped taking both of us because he couldn't find Stephanie one time. We thought she was playing in the front where the pile of sand was. And then one of the crew guys said he saw the new guy named Chavo with her walking up the street. They were in the backyard, and she was crying, and Chavo was standing beside her. Pa went out to talk to him, frantic, and that was the only time I've heard him yell outside of the house. Chavo kept saying that he saw her wander off down the street into the other framed houses. We went home right away after that. Stephanie didn't talk a lot, and Mom stopped working so she could stay home with Stephanie. I had to find new people to work with, and that took a while. I remember we were always eating at my tia's house. Now it's just me that goes on the weekends and school breaks, and I haven't seen the Chavo guy since. The year after that, Stephanie started school, so Ma started working again. I asked Ba once about him, and he didn't say anything to me. Maybe they found him and took him back to Panama or Chihuahua or Guatemala. Breakfast was always a difficult part of the day, because I didn't like anything except for eggs, and Stephanie didn't like anything except for eggs, and when there's one left, Ma will give it to me if Stephanie had it last. Don't be a jerk, Stephanie said. Share. You get a piece, I said. Her fork grabs more than half the egg. Stephanie, damn it. A 12-year-old doesn't speak like that, Ma hissed. Ma tells us she hates when we fight. During the summers, we fight a shit ton because I just get pissed when I see her and she gets mad at me. Small places do that. Ma tells us that we need to be more like her and her sisters who don't fight. The parties at my tia's house are filled with talking shit about each other and it's like someone's writing a book out loud. My tia's always talk shit about Apa because I guess he cheated with my mom when he was dating someone else. When I'm around them and they think I'm not listening, they say things like, ese pendejo is going to you know what with someone else, and when he does, she's not going to have anywhere else to go except back to us. But as soon as my dad would come back around, they'd ask how work was and where he wants to go on vacation. If anything was to happen, I doubt my mom would go crawling back to my tia's to be your savior. My mom once locked us out of the house, and she shimmied a window open before I could go back and open the door. It's 12 o'clock, and I walk to the backyard, sweat gathering at my fingertips. Stephanie poured water in a hole she dug the day before, and the water grew a brown fog within itself. She flicked her fingers in the water, her toes wagged on the rim of the hole, and she dipped her foot down. Why are you always doing weird things like that, Stephanie? It's weird to you, because you don't understand it. She's always testing me, always calling me dumb in some way. I mean, I'm the older one, the smarter one. On the last report card, I had less B's than her. What is the point? Take a bath if you want to get wet. It's my ocean, she said. It's not real, I said. You don't want to understand, she said. That's your problem. And that pinched a nerve. I didn't need to understand what's not important to me. I scooped up two handfuls of loose dirt and threw them in the hole. The collision summoned a thin snap, a water explosion, and settled down as ugly muck. Don't do that, she growled. She threw mud at me, landed right in my mouth, tasted like shit and feet. Look what you did to me, I said, wheezing. I want to yell. I was around my teeth. Fuck this. Niños, Ma said. Come back inside or they'll hear you or someone will call him. Ma, look at Stephanie. I don't care what Stephanie did. You're filthy. Just come inside. She was blank-faced. Her eyes said the rest. Stephanie looked at me and snorted. We walked inside and the air was dense and moist. And every time I breathed, the mud in my mouth would slip down my throat. The fighting, she said. Niños, if you keep fighting, there won't be the luxury of each other. We stood quiet. We said nothing. We just felt it getting later into the day. 1 o'clock and we were as bored as 1 o'clock looks. Ma's reading her book on the couch. The boredom has taken Stephanie to a state of sleeping where she's living in her dream. The house, my home, is something less than a cell. Not because we are all in here, quietly, sitting with an acute response on hold beneath the dermis. No, it's because I was born into this. And it follows me and Stephanie everywhere. We want to be at school and relax. We can look out the window, but we can't see what sees us. And I'm not complaining, I'm reminding myself. Because we're used to it, like we're used to 5 coming before 6 and 10 being a multiple of 100. Ask most people around here. They'll say the same thing. We're familiar with this baby tooth cavity. I've got a cousin who lives in the suburbs, maybe 30 minutes away, 10 to 15 intersections in the same direction, one after the other, and he's in school today because it's a Monday. His parents, my tío and my tía, are at work, wondering what they're going to do this weekend. My mamá is tapping her foot, looking at her watch every few seconds. I'm here. Sitting here on my sofa. I see the sliver of space the blinds cannot cover. A police car taking its time to move on by. It's been hours since Apa went to go drop off his truck at my tío's house, and he isn't here yet. Thank you.
That was Udian Garcia reading his short story, Hard Rhyme, at Spillers No. 7 at Valley Bar on March 14th, 2017. For all Spillers After Show podcast episodes, go to spillersaftershow.com. For more information on Spillers, the voice of Phoenix fiction, go to spillers.net.